Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. This is episode 301, the first episode of 2017. Hope you had a great holidays. Hope you're ready to kick some serious ass in 2017. I know I am. So let's get into this. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a media producer, drummer, and an entrepreneur. He grew up in a family restaurant business, but had the urge to set out on his own. Since he was 17 years old, my guest has way as a professional musician, recording, and touring. In 2011, he went back into the restaurant business, this time with his brother. Then in 2013, he went back to music and started a podcast called Drummer's Resource. During the past 3 years, my guest has transformed Drummer's Resource into a full-fledged media platform that includes a podcast, a blog, and social media with entertaining, inspiring, and lifestyle-focused content for drummers. Now, let's hack Nick Ruffini. Running your own small business is no small feat. It takes a ton of late nights, early mornings, and maybe even that occasional all-nighter. Bottom line is, you are insanely busy as a business owner. So why not make things a little easier on yourself? Well, our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners like you. It's simple, intuitive, and keeps you way more organized than a dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds, and then get paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. Plus, you can file expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools you need when you need them, without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Join the 24 million people who have used FreshBooks. Try it for free for 30 days. No catch, no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Go to freshbooks.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest, Nick. Welcome to the show.
John, what's happening, man? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's all my pleasure. Having like a drum expert, I'm going to say, on the show is pretty cool. I don't get a lot of you. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I think so too. Well, you're a drummer, so.
I know, so, but we'll get into this. Don't worry. All right, Nick, you are a man who wears many hats. You do many things. Today, we're talking to Nick, the entrepreneur. So, Nick, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
The biggest contributor, I would say, and it sounds so like, cliche and trite, but like, I don't want to say never giving up, but like just the consistency of constantly, constantly going and doing the things that I don't want to do or are uncomfortable or are annoying to do, but doing them day in and day out relentlessly.
I love it. Is this like sort of like an innate behavior, like that annoyed like the hell out of your parents when you were a kid, that you just never gave up when you got your eye on something? Or is this something you've sort of figured you needed once you got older and into business?
I don't know. I think part of it was innate. I don't know if I was like that when I was a kid. I would always get involved in something or get into something and really dedicate myself to it. You know, like I started playing baseball and I was like, that's all I wanted to do. I was just like, just play baseball. And then, you know, I started playing and then that started playing drums and that just ruled my world. And I was like, I don't want to do anything else. So, and you know, my friends will attest to this, like in middle school and in high school, like Friday and Saturday nights when everybody was out partying, I was at home practicing. And I wouldn't go. People were like, do you want to go to this party? And I was like, no, I'd rather stay home. So I'm sort of that way now. Like I'd much rather stay home and work than go out to happy hour.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, I just, and it's not like a, I'm not like a workaholic and well, maybe I am, but, but I think it's different because I enjoy it. So it's like, I'm going to enjoy going to the bar less than staying home, working on a project or working on something that I think is cool. So why wouldn't I just stay home? And I'm not saying I never go out, but for the most part, I would rather, I like doing things. I like completing things. I like creating something that wasn't there before and putting it out into the world.
That's entrepreneurship right there. And I totally get what you mean. Like, obviously you do still go out, but there's that trade-off, right? And if you mm-hmm. enjoy the projects that you're working on, if you're like kind of not blessed, but you've set your life up that you get to work on projects that excite you, then why would you stop doing that to go do something else?
Right. And you said trade-off. And like, I don't feel like it is a trade-off for me. I don't feel like I'm giving anything up to get some. And if I want to go out on a Friday with my wife, well, then I go out, you know, but I don't sit at home. I don't have FOMO that I'm at home working on something and I'm like, oh, all my friends are out at the bar, or, you know, plus all my friends, I mean, I'm getting older now. So all my friends have kids and everything and they're home anyway.
Right. Okay. I like it. I like it. So let's go back if we can, because you're running Drummer's Resource now, you're heading into another project, but I know that this isn't your first business you've started.
No.
You've gone through consulting and other businesses. So always going through it, it doesn't seem to make sense. But let's see if we can go back and see if you can find, because there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they've realized that they either had to make this change or difference in the world, or they found that they simply just could not work for somebody else anymore. So Nick, can you take us back to when you discovered this about yourself, but then also tell us what side of the fence you see yourself on?
Well, do I have time? I'll tell like a sort of a short story, but
let's do it.
A lot of people don't know. I grew up in the restaurant business. So my family has owned 5 different restaurants since 1974. And that's all I really knew. So although, you know, all growing up, I worked for my family in the restaurant, which sort of to me felt like, even though I was working for my father, I didn't really feel like I was working for someone. You know, I just felt like it was just the family. It's just the family business. But I mean, I remember as young as 7, 8 years old, like I did the whole thing. Like I did the lemonade stand and the paper route and started a car detailing business and DJ business. And then I was working at the restaurant and started a booking agency when I was in college, like a band booking agency, not like I wasn't a bookie in college. But I say that a lot of times and people are like, oh, you were a bookie?
Interesting.
But I always remember my dad, I just talked about this today. My dad always read Entrepreneur magazine and I was like, I want to be in this magazine. I want to be an entrepreneur. I had no idea what that meant, but I always remember that. And then even all through college, I had a bunch of, you know, like little businesses and stuff like that. But then got out of college and was touring a lot, playing music. And so I didn't go out and look for work because I was touring so much. And then finally decided like I wanted to settle down and opened up a restaurant with my brother that we sold a few years ago. So I think for me, this is a, you know, to make a short story long, I don't think that there was ever a time where I thought like, hey, I'm going to go work at some company or I'm going to go work for somebody else. I always figured I would either be in the family business or do something else on my own. I always saw myself as being a businessman, but not necessarily working for someone else. I never even applied for a job when I got out of college. So
it was in the family. Business was in the family. It was...
Yeah, it just made sense. And I didn't realize it at the time. You know, like I didn't realize that everyone else didn't have business acumen, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
So there was all these things that just sort of came naturally to me. But I say naturally, maybe they didn't come naturally. I think that it was something that I learned over the course of, you know, 30 years or 25 years of being in the family business.
And it's interesting because so many people, I think at that point, especially college and after college, where if you had that inclination to go and like to not even apply for a job, most people's families would think that you're insane and they would tell you that you're going to be a complete failure.
Right.
I'm assuming yours was just like, well, of course, that's... They were also thinking like, well, no, you don't apply for a job. This is where you do something.
Yeah, I think part of it was, I mean, in all fairness, I think part of it was me being a little lazy and not knowing exactly what I wanted to do. So I was like, I'm touring right now and I would come home and I would work at the restaurant. So I always sort of had this job that was there. And I probably said it 1,000 times that I didn't like the fact that I had that there. I didn't like the safety net of it. And I always said I could, no matter what I did, like even right now, today, if I lost all my money and I was destitute, I could go work at my parents' restaurant. And sometimes that bothers me. Sometimes that safety net gives me an excuse to be lazy or gives me an excuse to not work so hard because I always have that fallback plan. It's a little different now in the last 5 years because I've moved. Like I live, you know, 3 hours away from the restaurant now and I'm married and all these other things. But up until then, it was sort of this, it was always there, which always sort of bothered me.
Your back, you felt like your back wasn't against the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, well, you know, worst case scenario, I could just go work at the restaurant. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. And everyone would always come into the restaurant and they would say, oh, when, you know, when you get older, this will be yours one day. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want this. I wanted to do my own thing.
Right.
And I've always looked at my father as being there. I mean, he's self-made, you know, immigrant family. That story and came over, or he didn't come over, his grandmother came over, but he grew up without a father. His father died when he was 3. He's a self-made man. And I felt like if I was taking over his business, then that was something that he did. And he got the pleasure of being successful at it. And I wanted to do my own thing.
Fair enough. I think a lot of us could probably relate to that idea. So this journey takes you to Drummer's Resource, which mm-hmm.
Started in 2013, yep.
In which?
2013. Yeah, right. You were right.
Cool. So yeah, it's been 3 years, a little over 3 years. So let's kind of talk about how that came to be. From restaurant business to touring drummer to deciding to build like sort of, I guess, what would you call it? Did you build a website or did you build a business around drumming?
I built a podcast and then was like, I got to figure out how to monetize this. So it's sort of turned from a podcast to now it's starting to become more of like a media company. But in the beginning, it was just a podcast. And the story of it is I was living outside of Philadelphia. I owned a restaurant with my brother. I met a girl who lives in New York and I was commuting back and forth a lot. And I was playing, I'd just come out with a record. And there was this weird part where I wanted to stay in music. I didn't want to, and this is partly why I started the restaurant. I didn't want to be at the mercy of someone else. So if someone calls me to do a gig, I have to take it because I need the money. And I never wanted to be in that situation. So we started the restaurant. But like after 30 years in the restaurant business, I was done. I was sick of it. I didn't enjoy it. It wasn't fun to me anymore. I loved working with my family, but I wanted to get out. So commuting back and forth, I was working 120 hours a week. I was commuting between New York and Philadelphia 3 times a week. And I was essentially miserable. But I was listening to a lot of podcasts. And when I was coming up to New York, I always wanted to take lessons from the greatest drummers in the world. So I said, I don't want to actually take lessons. I just want to hang out with them and soak up their knowledge, really. So I said, maybe I can record them. And then I thought, well, maybe other people would want to hear these recordings. And I was listening to, you know, Pat Flynn and all these other guys that have podcasts. So I was like, hey, why don't I give this a shot? So I eased out of the restaurant and did some consulting to sort of, you know, cover the delta in the beginning, and then launched the podcast. And, you know, here we are 3 years and 250 episodes later.
Nice. So you said you just started a podcast and then you figured out you had to monetize it later. And then it kind of evolved into you wanted to create a media company around it. What sort of like spark or metric or what happened from that made you think that, okay, this shouldn't just be a podcast?
I realized that I really, really enjoy media in general, producing content, not just a podcast, but content in general. And I've always sort of been creative, and it's so weird. I feel like I'm creative, but I don't feel like I'm an artist. I'm not this type of person that has to sort of live and die by my art. I love it. It's a passion of mine and I could spend all day in the recording studio, but I don't have this. I always had this thing that I wanted to let my voice be heard, but I wasn't sure how I wanted to do that. And I think that, and I'm going to steal this quote for, I know Chase Jarvis says it a lot, he got it from Steve Jobs, but you can't connect the dots moving forward. You can only connect the dots looking backwards. And now looking backwards, I realized that, you know, I've always liked creating all these things, and I never then would have thought, I should start a media company. But as I'm starting to go through these things, I'm realizing, okay, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. And as they start to get put together, you know, I was like, this is starting to make, this is a media company. This is what this should be. And I'm interested in so many other things like entrepreneurship, just success, personal development, business, all types of things. And I can't do all of that on Drummer's Resource. I can do some of it, and I've stretched it. Trust me.
It's awesome.
I had like managing directors from Vanguard Investment Company on there, and like I'm like, this is how this ties into drumming. And people are like, what the hell is this guy doing? So I've stretched it, but I know that I'm interested in other things, and I think that I can put a lot of value out into the world through different types of medium. So, but that's
now, right? So that's when you're thinking that you could, or you want to evolve past or beyond, like an extension of Drummer's Resources. So you can include personal development, all that stuff. But
sure.
But within Drummer's Resource, so you start a podcast just for fun because you want to talk. Exact same reason I started this show. I had 30 people I wanted to talk to. Thought, hey, I'll record it and put it as a podcast. Then I'll go back to doing whatever I do. But then it happened. So you did this, and then you realized, okay, actually, I'm going to monetize this and turn it into something like a business. At that point, right then, did you, because this didn't happen with me because I was in entrepreneurship, which is a massive market, right? But you were drumming. You were talking to drummers. Was there anything in your head that was like, okay, no, I like media. I like creating. I want to do this, but maybe I should just start a whole new market right now because this one might not be big enough for me.
No, only, and the only reason now looking, I'm like, man, maybe I should have. But
I didn't mean it like that.
It's like a niche
market, right?
It's a decent size niche market. So it's a good size. I mean, but it's not you're fighting for all the same ad dollars that everyone else is, all the magazines and all that stuff. And it's a very small industry in terms of everybody knows each other. You know, everybody's friends with each other. So it's definitely a small industry, and all of us are sort of fighting for the same dollar. And that sounds horrible to say, but that's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
I should have gave you a little bit more backstory. So I'll try to make it as quick as possible. But when there was a family split years ago in the restaurant, we left, and I was sort of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And opening the restaurant for a time was, okay, I'll be here for a year, but I want to go out and do my own thing. So while I was going through this sort of soul searching thing, I came upon a topic that I never even knew existed, or a definition of location independent. And I didn't really understand what that was. I mean, I understood what the words meant, but I didn't understand what that meant in terms of running a business. So I was looking for a way for, after I learned that, I said, oh my God, that's exactly what I want to do. So I wanted to figure out a way that I could be location independent. Then I found Pat Flynn. And I learned about, you know, niche sites and all this other stuff. And I was like, hell, I could do that. I know tons of drummers. And so I was already meeting with these people and recording it. So it was sort of a light bulb moment where I was like, well, I could just put this together. If I get the audience big enough, I can sell advertising. I can sell courses. I can have events and all that sort of stuff. So I guess, does that answer your question?
That does. That totally answers my question.
Okay.
And so now,
I'm sort of all over the place.
Yeah, no, that's totally cool. That's what makes us entrepreneurs, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That's why I was a little worried at first when you said you had so much focus. I was like, who are you? But
I do not have.
In 2013, yeah, so now since then, and you're saying how you listen to Pat Flynn, super smart dude, and there was all these different ways you could monetize if you had built the audience. Now you've built the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, like, how is your revenue generated at this point for Drummer's Resource?
Now it's about 75% ad revenue and 25% product. And I do a little bit of career consulting and things like that for up and coming drummers who are looking to get into the business, get bigger, you know, get bigger gigs, get better gigs, get touring work and things like that. But 75, maybe 80% of it comes from ad revenue.
Really? And then products and consulting. Are you thinking about like getting into the whole like course creation sort of thing? And
No,
you're just... Well,
and reason being, I'm not, and I've been very vocal about this, I don't like teaching lessons.
Okay.
So I thought, you know, everybody said, oh, well, you should teach drum lessons on your site. I have zero desire to do that. So I'm not going to start doing that just because I know that it'll make more money.
Fair enough. And
if I don't want to do it, so.
And from knowing you so deeply for the last 18 minutes of my life, it seems like you're really, it seems like you're like into the mindset of it, like that sort of aspect of it, rather than the technical, like, here's how to do a paradiddle something.
It's so funny that you say that, because that's the exact way that I always say, this podcast isn't about paradiddles, you know, and people are listening are like, what the hell is that? But it's a real, it's just a rudiment. It's a, you know, right, left, right, left. But because there's so many other people out there that talk about playing specifically and are really good at it. So I talk more about concepts. I talk about more about how to get gigs, about networking, about the music business, about your mindset, about how to improve your practice routine, about how to, you know, get all the things done in your day that you know, you say that you don't have enough time. And that's sort of the, and like different approaches and how to learn songs and how to, you know, what type, different types of deals you can get and all these sort of things. So I talk, it's not necessarily music business, but I talk a little bit about that. I talk about all of the other things besides playing.
Right. I think that's...
Wow, I just got really into that, didn't I?
That's cool. It's good. That's
like
what we want.
My Italian coming out.
So let's move to projects. So we've gone deeply into how you sort of came up with the idea of Drummer's Resource and now have monetized it. And now you are thinking of extending the business outwards, mm-hmm. this media business. And you told me before that you've come up with a new idea for a new project to start. So now that we know how you created the first one with kind of figuring out if you could even do this sort of thing, now you got the success and the confidence behind you and obviously some leverage as well from that audience. So I want to know how you could tell us what the project is, but then I want to know how it differs and if it's just like a gut sort of feeling that you go with this, or if you like have some convoluted sort of way of figuring out that this next project is worth your time, energy, and resources.
I think originally it took me a long time to figure out exactly what I wanted to do next, because I didn't want to go down the road of entrepreneurship and business. One, because I think it's a crowded market. Two, because I think a lot of people do it really well already. So I didn't feel like there was anything I could sort of add there. I don't want to be on the other side of the coin where I really enjoy the personal development and success side of things, but I don't want to be a motivational speaker. Because I want people to actually take action rather than, I just don't want to make people feel warm and fuzzy for a half hour, but I want people to actually, you know, get sort of inspiration and get a fire under their tail to go do something. So this new project that I have, it's called The Daily Grit, which it's not out yet, but it's coming, it'll be coming out next year. And it's basically, you know, it's creative people doing amazing things. So it is, the tagline is, inspiring content from creators, artists, and doers. So these are the never say dyers and maybe the people who are not getting the limelight, but the people who are sort of the backbone of our country. And everywhere you go, there's scandal and this bad news and all that. And I don't want to put any of that into the world. So I'm like, maybe I can put out really amazing sort of documentary style pieces of content that are good. So you know you can go to this site every day and there's really interesting, cool shit going on. Sorry, I don't know if I curse. Sorry.
We did it.
Some really cool things going on that'll sort of brighten up your day. They're not gonna pull you down, but maybe also inspire you to say, hey, maybe I can go do my thing the way that I want to do it. And it's far from a, you know, you can get on this site and I'm going to teach you how to follow your dreams. It's not about that. It's more of like, hey, these are some really interesting people. These are human interest stories, you know, for lack of a better way of describing it. And maybe they'll inspire you to go out and do something great. So, but originally I had no idea what I wanted to do after this. I was like, I can go this way. Should I start an ad agency and help people with, you know, content and help them do branded content? I was like, I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be in the, you know, in the service business and all that. So, it took me a long time. I mean, my wife would say it took me entirely too long, but I'm sure that she's tired of hearing me. Oh, maybe I could do this. Maybe I could do this. And I was like, I was thinking about maybe starting an agency where, like, a talent agency. So I've had like a ton of different ideas, and I've sort of honed in on this because I can use my music connections. I have contacts with a lot of other people who do amazing things. Like, you know, my friend's dad started J. Crew, and but you would never know. It started as a catalog company years and years and years ago. So just like really interesting stories that I can showcase.
And so does the medium, like, have you chosen like a medium to start with, like audio, video, text, or does that matter?
I think that it's going to start. The one thing I regret about starting Drummer's Resource as a podcast is not doing the video. So now with this new project, I want to start at least with video, just videotaping the interview, so that I at least have the video and the audio. But then from there, I'd really like to do it where it almost feels like a documentary, but it's a short one, like, you know, maybe 10, 12, 15 minutes. And so we have sort of the cinematic value, and we have the audio, we have the video, and then it can be repurposed. And I think it allows for better storytelling that way. But I'm going to start with podcast and video for right now.
Fair enough. And so this idea, though, of you saying to your wife, like, I could go this direction, this direction, this direction. Now you've chosen the Daily Grit as a direction, just as totally just off the cuff. Do you almost feel like, because of there's almost an infinite amount of directions somebody like you can go at that point, do you almost feel like it's just a matter of choosing one, but it doesn't really matter because of your determination and your relentlessness that you will push it to be successful anyways?
Yeah, you know what, I mean, we're talking about, this is an entrepreneur podcast, and I think it's a good idea to talk about this, is that I have sometimes almost debilitating paralysis by analysis. And I think about where the directions that I could go, and if it doesn't feel like that direction is going to, you know, has the ability to be a bigger business or have the impact that I want or help me lead the lifestyle that I want. And I could be thinking like, oh, if I go down this road 10 years from now, I don't think it's going to get me where I want to go. And rather than going down that road and seeing where it takes me, I'll do nothing. And I've had that. I mean, Drummer's Resource happened very quickly, but this next move took me a long time. And frankly, was like debilitating for a long time because there were so, like you said, there's so many roads that I thought I could make any of them successful, but it's sort of like the fear of failure too, where it's like, what happens if I put 5 years into this and it doesn't work? Then I've just wasted this 5 years. But the way that I will never find out if it works is if I never go down any road at all. And it's a horrible decision to make, but it's also sort of a safe decision because you're like, if you never go down that road, you don't fail. And then you're like, well, I never did it. I could have done that, but I just, you know, I chose not to. So now it feels like a decision to you rather than a cop out. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It does make sense.
It's sort of,
I think it probably makes sense to a lot of people.
It's sort of, they say that when people buy workout videos, that they, or sell, or personal development videos, back in the day, they would buy DVDs and they would put them on the shelf. And I forget what the number was, but there's a large percentage of those people who never take it out of the package, never even open the cellophane around it. And the reason why they found out is that if they open that box and it doesn't work for them, then they failed. But if they never open the box, then they always have that there as a way out. And whenever they want to make that change, all they have to do is go to the shelf, take it out, and put the DVD in, and their life will change. So there's always that last ditch effort. But if they open it and fail, then it's over.
Wow. Eh?
Yeah.
And I guess that's probably why, I mean, if you pay attention, especially in like those two markets, like you said, where there's some really aggressive salespeople, lots of times the success and like your personal success as the customer is deemed at purchase, like at checkout. Like you have already taken a bigger step than most people, and you are a success right here at checkout.
Right.
Basically, just kind of really emphasizing that, like, you don't even have to open this package when it arrives.
Right.
You already are a success for giving me your money.
Mm-hmm. That same reason why people join the gym and don't go after a while, or they get a piece of exercise equipment and it turns into a clothes hanger, because it's always there if they want it. They always know that they can, I could do it if I really wanted to. Now they feel like they're making a choice. But if they fail, failure is not a choice. That means they failed. That means they suck. That means they're stupid. That means they're not good enough. You know, I'm saying that in their head, they
totally
think that.
Yeah, totally.
So if they choose, it's sort of like what going bald is not a decision, but shaving your head is. You know, it's like that, the power of choice. And if you feel like you're in control, then you feel like that you not taking action is your choice, but failing is not. And that's difficult. It's hard for all. It's hard for me. I struggle with that.
Right. Sure. And it's like in there, you said, like, if you push something for this next project for five years and wasted your time, how that would feel. I'm assuming if all signs pointed directly in your face that this wasn't working for 5 years, you would stop. But heading into this, heading into the new year, heading into a new big project that you've spent a lot of time thinking about, is there any, like, either real or tangible sort of metrics that you're putting up that are going to tell you if it's working or not in a month or 6 months or a year, whatever it happens to be?
The only metrics that I'll be able to use is sort of the growth metrics of what the audience size is. And it's different. I think there's a mistake that a lot of people make is they look at their numbers for vanity's sake and they get crippled by that and they get turned off and distraught by it. But if you're looking at it to sort of measure the effectiveness of what you're doing, then you have to look at those numbers. So I've already been down this road once with the podcast, and I know how quickly it grew. So, or how slowly it grew, whichever way you want to look at it. But I know that I can look at things and say, if I have, you know, 100 people that listen to the first podcast, I'm not going to say, oh, this sucks, like nobody's ever going to listen to it, because I know it takes time. It's going to be the same grind. But I'll sort of compare it to my drumming, to the drummer's resource metrics. One, because that's a niche market, so it's actually harder to grow something like that in a niche market. So if it's growing slowly and it doesn't seem like it's catching on, or I'm not, you know, I may not even like the product that I'm putting out or something like that. And that's what I'll go by. I'll go by sort of the growth of the downloads. And I don't really care about social media. Like, I probably have my Instagram page for Drummers Resource probably has less followers than most of the drumming Instagram pages out there. And I don't care. I could not care less.
Fair enough.
For vanity's sake.
For business sake, I mean, I would think that real audience and revenue would be better metrics to go by.
I think I have a smaller and deeper audience. And I think a lot of other people have a very, very wide, shallow audience. And you'll look at it, you can see all the comments on the Facebook pages or the Instagram pages, and it's like, it's in a different language, or it doesn't make any sense, or it's like spam or whatever it is. So,
exactly.
You know, I'm not interested in that.
Fair enough. All right, Nick, this has been an absolute blast, man.
It's fast. It goes by so quick.
Yeah, I know, man. I want to wrap up, though, on one final question for you. It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap, which seems to be this gap that we live in. As entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we're always projecting our personal successes into the future. So in 1 month when you launch that new project, or in 6 months when you hit whatever revenue metric it is you want, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet you and I both know that the second before you hit those goals, you're going to set 5 bigger, loftier ones into the future.
Sure.
Which I know we have to do that, but it puts us in this gap. From the outside, I know lots of people listening would love to be in the position that you are in, yet to you, you're seeing things in front of you. So I would love it if right now, Nick, you have lots of big things coming, but if you could right now stop and turn and look behind you. The whole journey, the highs, the lows, the wins and the losses, but tell me how you feel about this whole crazy entrepreneur thing up until today.
Hmm. I feel like looking backwards and connecting all of those dots and seeing all the things that I accomplished, knowing where I was, I feel pretty proud of the things that I've accomplished. And as I'm looking around in my studio here and I have, like, you know, my feature in Drum Magazine and I have my record that I put out that it was a top 50 record and all of those sorts of things, I think I'm pretty damn proud of what I've done, you know, and I feel good about it. I can't wait to see what's next. And it took me a long time to get to that point too. It's such a dumb thing, not a dumb thing, but a cliche thing to say of like enjoying the journey. But it took me a while to really understand where I'm going, but to be happy with where I'm at. And that came from sort of a lot of mindfulness and meditation and reflection and practicing gratitude and things like that. But it was hard for me to do that. It's still kind of hard for me to do that. Does that answer your question?
It totally does. That's an awesome answer, man. All right. Well, you've mentioned the record twice and we haven't even like told anybody what it is. So what's this record you put out?
Oh, so the record is called Pressing On. It's by Nick Ruffini. And that came out, that was a while ago, actually. It came out in 2011, but it was a top 50 record.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was top 50 on the jazz charts.
That's awesome.
So I did it with a bass player named Paul Kleinfelter, a guitar player named Johnny DeFrancesco, and an organ player named Rich Bedessa. And we actually cut the whole record in a weekend.
Very cool. So, it's for sale places or for
Spotify? Yeah, you can find it like it's on Spotify and awesome. You can get it on iTunes and, you know, all the major distributors have it and everything.
Very cool. So we've pushed the record, Pressing On. I will link to that in the show notes. We've got to talk about Drummer's Resource in passing. Can you just give the pitch to the audience now?
Drummer's Resource, the elevator pitch is it's interviews and expert advice with the world's greatest drummers, music industry professionals, and thought leaders. So I've done over 240 interviews since 2013. I've had everyone on there from Steve Gadd to Peter Erskine to Eric Hernandez, who's Bruno Mars's drummer, to Justin Timberlake's drummer, and everybody in between. I've had Danny Serafin, who started Chicago, the drummer from Blind Melon. Like, I mean, I've had all kinds of people, but they're great. I mean, there's a lot of interviews in there, even if you're not a drummer, that talks about the creative aspect of things. That I just interviewed Steve Rennie, who was the vice president of Epic Records and signed Incubus. And you know, so there's a lot. I've had Chase Jarvis, who's the CEO of Creative Live. I had him on there. So a ton of great guests. Very fortunate to have all those people on there.
Definitely. Chad Smith, too. Don't miss
Chad. I had Chad Smith from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I saw that on your Instagram. That was pretty cool. The call coming in. So drummersresource.com is the site. Drummersresource.com/podcast is the podcast. I'm going to link to both of those in the show notes, so they're super easy for you to find, plus the record. And what's the best social media to find you on?
I'm every single one of them is different and it sucks, but I'm at Nick_Ruffini on Twitter. I'm at Nick Ruffini on Instagram and I'm on official Nick Ruffini on Facebook.
Awesome. That's NICKRUFFINI.
Yep.
I'll track down some social media as well. And I'll also put that into the show notes.
Cool. I can send it over to you.
Very cool. Very cool. And we're looking forward to hearing about the Daily Grit when it comes out in January.
Me too. I didn't know we were going to talk about it. So
well, there it is. It's out there now. no turning back now.
I'm cool with it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Now I just have to do it. I can't bail out at the last second.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much, man. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for stopping by, taking the time. I truly do appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing, man.
John, thank you, man. You do the same. I'm really thankful that you had me on here. I dig the podcast. I dig what you're doing. So definitely a pleasure.
Very cool. Nick, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. So it's always interesting to go through the conversation while I'm recording the interview with Nick, but then getting to go back and listen to it sort of as that third person, like you get to do, except I'm not walking my dog or driving or whatever it is you're doing right now. But I had to go back into this conversation. I had some spots marked down that I wanted to go back and check. So I did. I went back through the conversation. Then I went back through the conversation. And then I went back one more time through the conversation. That last time that I went through, there was a lot of things that Nick said that really resonated with me. Obviously, entrepreneur, drummer, music, all the, you know, obviously there's a connection there. But there was this one thing that he said when I listened to it that third time back that was so very, very, very clear to me. It was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I've always sort of been creative, and it's so weird. I feel like I'm creative, but I don't feel like I'm an artist. I'm not this type of person that has to sort of live and die by my art. I love it. It's a passion of mine, and I could spend all day in the recording studio, but I don't have this. I always had this thing that I wanted to let my voice be heard, but I wasn't sure how I wanted to do that. And I think that, and I'm going to steal this quote for, I know Chase Jarvis says it a lot. He got it from Steve Jobs, but you can't connect the dots moving forward. You can only connect the dots looking backwards.
And that's the hack. Nick. I freaking love this. this is it, right? I love two aspects of this. I guess both aspects of it. How you say I'm creative, but I'm not an artist. So obviously this resonates huge with me, probably with a lot of you listening. And it should, because having this entrepreneurial sort of mindset is, you've heard me say it numerous times, I'm sure, and you will hear me repeat it. Entrepreneurship is creation. It really is. It's a creative endeavor. It's creating something out of nothing, putting it out into the world and getting value back from it. Value is usually in the form of money. And that's what business is. It's literally that creation of value in some way that you then get paid for. And I think it's good to think of it as a creative endeavor, even though you don't have to be quote unquote an artist. I would never call myself an artist, but I do strive to create things and put them out. And I think that we need to do that. And then this whole second part where he says the quote, how he wanted his voice to be heard, but, and then how Steve Jobs said, you can't connect the dots going forward. You can only connect them looking back, which is something we talk about a lot on this show too. In the fact that it's the beginning of a new year. And I want to put a call out to you to start something new, whether it's in your existing business already and just create a whole new product or like something creative and put it out there. And even if you don't know exactly what it is you want to do, like the way that Nick said he wanted his voice to be heard, but he didn't know how. I mean, that happened with me with this show in general. I didn't really know how. I didn't expect it to get to where it is, but it did because I took the action to do it. And it doesn't matter if where you end up is anywhere near, because going forward, those dots don't make sense. Steve Jobs says it, and it's a brilliant quote. Because it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. Life doesn't make sense typically going through it, but that forward momentum is what will take you to somewhere that will sort of satisfy you with that meaningful work, that work that really truly matters to you and to other people around you. So at the beginning of this year, this is to me an excellent hack because of that. It's really nourishing the creative side of you and of entrepreneurship. And then no matter if you know where those dots are going, which you probably don't, because most of us don't, just start moving ahead. Start creating something and create something and create something and create something. And eventually, it's going to make sense. Looking back, you're going to be like, wow, there it is. That's how I got here.